Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good evening and welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. 46 years in 1 week.
There you go. Celebrated last week. And we still celebrate.
Every day.
That's it.
Every day. Have you ever had someone say something that cut you to the quick? Something that wounded you deeply, even though you knew they were wrong in their assessment of you? I remember such an experience, and it wasn't fun. In fact, it kind of hurt me very deeply. This person is someone for whom I'd done many things over the years. In fact, made decisions and suggestions that literally made them millions of dollars. But these friends listened to a third voice, one that sought to advance themselves at my expense. These friends assumed the third voice was correct because he was part of their family. Even though he was wrong, they believed him, and their perception of the events he described became their new reality. I'll be honest, the things they said wounded me and could have caused me to become deeply offended until I realized what the enemy was trying to do. I was wise to his wiles and tricks, traps, lies.
Well, you have to be.
We have to be. He wanted nothing more than for me to be offended and hurt, because when you get offended and hurt, you open yourself to even greater attacks by the enemy. And that's exactly what he wanted. Now, it's not an easy task, I'll tell you that. But never give offense to the enemy. Or never give place to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Never give place to the enemy. Never allow him to even stick his big toe in the door of your mental thought process in your brain. Don't do that. Give him no place. Because offense is a foul trick of a mean devil.
That's right.
That's what it is. Foul trick of a mean devil. Instead of falling into offense, consider it a compliment. Now, that may seem strange, but you heard me correctly when I said that. See, the devil attacks those who have potential for good in the kingdom of God.
It's true.
So if he's attacking you, then you got to know that you have the potential to do wonderful things for the kingdom of God.
Or else he would not be attacking
you. Or else he wouldn't
you.
Be doing it.
That's right.
According to dictionary.com, the word offense means an act of stumbling, a cause or occasion of sin, stumbling block, something that outrages the moral or physical senses.
Mm.
Julie Myers, you may never have heard of her, but she's an amazing worship leader, prayer leader. She worked with Mike Bickle in Kansas City, Pastor Mike Bickle, for 15 years. Great, great worship leader. I put the quote in tonight's notes. Offense never lets you go. You have to let it go. That's profound. Offense will never let you go. You got to let it go. Offense, according to the definition, is an act of stumbling. It'll cause you to break your focus. If you stumble, you're no longer concerned about where you're going, but rather the immediate desire to keep from stumbling, from falling. Reminds me of a time, honey, that we spent a night with some longtime friends. The bed that they gave us was so high off the floor that they had to have 3 steps for us to climb up on it and get in the bed, crawl in the bed. And, it made it easier to access when we started to get ready to sleep. Now, the stairs were cool. They really were. The bed was perfect until about 4:30 in the morning when I was making a trip to the bathroom, not remembering and realizing the exact location of those stairs. I stumbled and fell. At the moment, my focus was definitely broken.
Amen.
And your sleep was broken because you heard me
rumbling around
it.
In the dark.
My big toe was hurt. And I won't describe how hurt, but it was hurt. But I got up and kept walking toward my goal. When we've been offended and we feel like we've stumbled, it may hurt, but we need to get up and keep pressing toward the mark and our goal. Here are seven things we need to remember when we're offended. Number one, remain calm. Have you ever heard the expression, if someone offends you, you don't get mad, you get even? In fact, you could try this one instead. If someone offends you, don't get mad or even, get ahead.
Yes.
That's a more popular version of that. Now, the first reaction to an unfair accusation can have your flesh rising up, desiring to get even. However, if you've been offended, the best way to get ahead is not a retaliatory strike, verbally or otherwise, against that person, but rather a calmness in the midst of the accusation, a calmness in the middle of the storm that it may have caused.
That's right. In James 1, verse 19, this in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry."
When most people get angry, they lose control. So here's the question. If you get angry and you lose control, the question is, who gains that control?
That's right.
And the enemy does, because he wants you angry and filled with thoughts of reprisal against the one who offended you. Mm. That's how he wins.
And it describes those feelings. The Bible's full of descriptions of feelings. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4 in the Living Bible says, If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest.
Hallelujah.
So, you know what? The point being, the most appropriate response that we can seek is one that diffuses the issue, minimizes what the enemy wants to accomplish in the situation. In other words, if you remain calm in the midst of the storm and look to the right source of, you know, what's happening here, which is God's, you know, answer, not your flesh, which is the one that wants to rise up first.
One of the best character building characteristics, building test, is how we respond to betrayal, rejection, and being misunderstood.
Yeah, it is.
Character building.
Toughest type of Christ-like training we will ever go through. But it also gives us an opportunity to overcome what many people are not able to overcome.
Choosing the victory of the Spirit.
That's right.
Over the trials of this world.
That's right. Bitterness is a result, really, of being offended. And that will just stay with you unless you purge it from yourself. It says in 1 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18, this is in the Classic Amplified. This will surprise you. I think a lot of people don't realize this is in there, but it is. It says, "For it is better to suffer unjustly for doing right, if that should be God's will, than to suffer justly for doing wrong." And then it goes on to explain, though, "For Christ, the Messiah himself, died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, that he might bring us to God. In his human body, he was put to death, but he was made alive in the Spirit."
Hallelujah.
That's really good insight for offense, because the Scripture says, points out that God, that Jesus chose that suffering for a victory in the Spirit. And that's sometimes what happens with us, offense. You know, when we are, our flesh wants to really retaliate. But the point of it is we need to go to God, not what our mind and heart would, you know, our mind wants to put in our heart about how to, but we need to go to God and go, "What would you have me do in this situation?"
I remember once being offended by an employer.
several times.
Of what they were doing. And the Lord, I remember I was standing in the office in a bathroom looking out the window. And the Lord said to me, you can deal with him or you can let me. And I thought, Lord, better you do it than me.
Amen.
And that's what we did. Number two, love them anyway.
There you go.
If you look up in Roget's thesaurus for an antonym for hate, you'll find the word is love. Or is this the opposite? Hate, love, they're the opposite. If someone has offended you, your flesh will cry out in hate. But God's word says we should respond with just the opposite. Mm. We should respond in love.
That's right. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us in Matthew 5, starting with verse 11. It says 11 and 12 in the New Living International Version. It says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, it says, those who persecute and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. When the enemy is trying to make sure you get offended in one way or another, I can assure you, it is because of the Jesus in you, not at a personal level, but because of the Jesus in you. He is the one who wants to take us out.
As citizens of the kingdom of God,
yeah,
it's our responsibility to bring love into a world that's full of hate. We are the salt that makes it palatable.
That's right.
You know, we're to be the salt. We see that in Scripture. I have a good acronym for salt, and it's stop acting like them. Mm. Stop acting like them. When we are the light, we should be the light when storm clouds they start to gather.
That's it. In Proverbs 10, verse 12, in the Living Bible, it tells us, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Wow.
You know, I've been the recipient of the truth found in 1 Peter 4:8, in the Classic Amplified on so many occasions.
That verse says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others.
I rejoice that on many occasions, the multitude of my sins have been covered by love.
And that's happened to all of us, honey. I mean, you know, we're going to make mistakes, but God.
So here's the question. If love covers a multitude of sins, shouldn't we be willing to allow it to cover the multitude of sins of others without trying to expose them or inflame them? Mm. Or should we be giving what we've received? The answer is yes, we should be. If we're unwilling to cover someone's offenses, that means that we're unwilling to love them. And believe me, it makes us pawns in the enemy's hands. And that's not what God wants. Mm. It's not what he wants.
Well, we can't work for God and work for the enemy too.
Nope.
So it is really a choice that we have to make.
Number three, perception determines reality. Mm. In your mind, you may not have done anything to offend anybody else. However, their perception became their reality.
That's right. Our Acts 25, verse 8 in the Living Bible says, Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense.
The only way to effectively change someone's perception is through the conviction and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But that's his job, not ours.
Even though sometimes we want to
want to do it. But it's the job of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every day in our judicial system, innocent people are convicted for crimes. Crimes they didn't commit. If the jury receives or returns a guilty verdict against an innocent person, they've done so because of what they perceived.
That's right.
The reality to be. May not have been that, but it's what they perceived it to be. The truth of any situation is determined by a person's perspective, which can often be affected by whose voice they're listening to.
That's right.
There'll be times in our lives, honey, when we're blamed or perhaps even condemned for something we didn't do. We can choose to get offended, or we can put it in the hands of the only one who can make it right. The only one. But we have to choose to put it into his hands.
That's right. And sometimes wait on him.
Yep.
In Romans 12, verse 19, this is in the New King James Version, he reminds us, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Only one way to we can win, and then there's one way to lose. And the way to win is to allow the Holy Spirit to plead our case.
Absolutely. Number four, overlooking an offense makes you a winner.
That's right.
Are you a smart person? I'm not talking about are you a member of the Mensa Society, but rather are you smart in that you know the difference between right and wrong or good and evil.
That's right. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, in the Message Bible, it says that we could prove it by our actions. It says, "Smart people know how to hold their tongue. Their grandeur is to forgive and forget."
Hallelujah.
Not always easy. Not always easy.
Have you ever heard someone say they don't have a lot of book smarts, but they have plenty of common sense?
Yeah.
If you want to be known as someone with common sense, then you need to know how to overlook an offense. I didn't make it up. It's in the book.
That's right. Proverbs 19:11 in the Living Bible says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." You know, regardless of which translation we use, the Message or, you know, the Message is the same. If we are smart and use common sense, then we can learn to forgive and forget. And that's exactly what God did for us. You know, we used to tell our kids that it's a whole lot easier to take the acorn out of the ground before it has a chance to send down those roots and grow an oak tree that has to be removed. And we all know that that is the truth. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "I will forgive their sins and forget the evil things they have done." Hallelujah. How can we expect anything less? In Proverbs 17, verse 9, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends."
That's amazing. Number five, you don't know what they think they know.
There you go.
That's what some people do. You don't know what they think they know.
That's right.
Have you ever had someone give you a cold shoulder or completely ignore your calls or emails? You have no idea the reason why. You just don't know.
They don't talk to you.
They refuse to talk to you.
Yeah. You're left playing 20 questions.
Well, which they may or may not answer. You
what
just
happened and
don't
what?
Know why they're acting like
that. That's it. But in Genesis 31, this is a good example in this one. Genesis 31, verse 36 in the Living Bible, it says, "Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban, his father-in-law. Jacob said to Laban, 'What is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me?' But it boiled down to this."
Laban didn't want Jacob and his wives to leave because he'd been benefited, blessed by having Jacob there. And he didn't want him leaving. He knew it.
That's it.
He knew it.
In Genesis 30, verse 27 in the New Living Translation, it said, "Please listen to me," Laban replied. "I have become wealthy, for the Lord has blessed me because of you." You know, there are times when people act in a certain way, not because of anything we might have done, but due to their own problems or selfish motives or hidden agendas that we don't always know about. if we don't know when or why or how, you know, we've offended somebody, sometimes we just have to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it. And if there's something He wants us to know or do about it,
He'll reveal it. He'll show it to us.
That's right.
He will.
That's all we can do sometimes.
Number six, identify the cause of the offense. Mm. Now, jealousy is a prime cause for offense.
It does. Hit a lot of people. Matthew 13, verse 57 in the Living Bible says, "And they took offense at Him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown and in his own household.'"
Not doing what others think you should be doing.
There you go.
Can cause offense as well.
Matthew 17, verse 27 in the Living Bible says, "However, do not give offense to them. Go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself."
You know, I've known parents who were offended because their children didn't pull for the same sports team, because they chose a different university than the parents or college and the parents want them to attend, or even maybe not go to the same church.
I'm
blessed that I didn't have that from my parents.
Amen.
So they... I always remember when I told Dad we were leaving the home church, he said, "Son, you go where you can get the best food and the best service."
Yeah.
I'll always remember what my father said to me when I told him that.
But it is unfortunate when things like that happen within families.
With somebody you love.
That's right. But, you know, we are not compelled to be controlled, you know, by, you know, others to avoid offense. Sometimes, you know, we just have to forgive and hope that they do too.
Yeah,
that's
right.
You're
right. Do you remember the parable of the king who had mercy on the servant? He gave his debt of 10,000 talents.
Yeah.
By the way, that was some serious money back then. If you look up how much talents were, serious money. Now, the servant whose debt had been forgiven later refused to forgive a small debt that he had with someone else. And he had him thrown in prison. When the king found out that the forgiving servant had not forgiven others, he was furious, and rightly so.
In Matthew 18, verse 32 and 33 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?'" You know, someday we're going to face God and He's going to look at us and say, "You know, I was merciful to you. I saved your soul from hell. And how merciful have you been to other people when it was in your hand to be able to be merciful?"
So there's no justifiable reason.
That's right.
Scripturally speaking. To keep an offense against someone.
Yeah.
It's just not in the book.
Not in the kingdom of God.
Nope, it's not. Number seven, offense hurts you way more than it does the other party.
There you go. I heard, I think I always give Joyce Meyer the credit for this. I think she's the one that somebody told me said it, but I love it. And it says, offense is really like taking poison, hoping the other person dies. And I'm thinking that just brings it down where the rubber meets the road as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Because we are doing ourselves no good to hold on to an offense or nursing a grudge or anything else against someone else.
John Brevere, the noted author and speaker, said, "Offense cuts you off from God. Mm. We separate ourselves from the pipeline.
There you go.
I've never seen anything block blessings from heaven except offense."
Wow.
We're going to give you several reasons why offense can hurt you. Mm. But truthfully,
this is a good one.
Here's the one that got my attention the most.
Yes. Psalm 66, verse 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me."
If you have offense against anyone, it will hinder your prayers to God. Who doesn't want God to hear their prayers?
Amen.
If you do, you better not have offense.
That's our pipeline.
That's our pipeline.
John Brevere said. Matthew 5, verses 23 through 26 in the Message Bible, he kind of lays out how our conduct is supposed to be, you know, if we have been offended. It says, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and are about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God.
The scripture is quite clear. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we need to go make it right even before giving an offering.
That's right.
Clearly states the scripture that our offering will be hindered if there is offense in our hearts. So it's important, as the scripture says, to drop everything and deal with it immediately. But honey, I also think it's significant that the offended person should be the one to seek out the person who has a grudge against them.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do anything. They need to come apologize to me. They need to ask for my forgiveness. Not what the Bible says.
That's it.
Not what the Bible says. Unless you're wanting to block your blessing flow. If you do that, you know, then don't.
Well, it says in the scripture, too, that if you're about to do this and you realize there's somebody, you remember, this is not right. Anytime we remember that something's not right, we need to make every effort we can, you know, to be able to make the situation right. And sometimes people will come and they'll make a realization that it was against somebody, maybe a mom and a dad, maybe they passed on. And they're not alive anymore, and they feel this terrible burden that they wanted to make it right. The scripture is clear on that too. You need to make it right in your heart. Then, you know, then God will make it right the way it needs to be. But you need to be right in your heart, and that takes the burden off of you. That actually even does it if the person's alive. And you go to them and you say, if I've done whatever it is that I've done that's offended you, I ask you to forgive me, because sometimes we'll not really know the whole reason. But if you have it in your heart and you've forgiven them or asked them to forgive you, or just, you know, then that takes the burden off you. And then that burden is put on them to reconcile what needs to be done, whether or not they accept your apology. Hopefully they do. But if they don't, you know, the point of it is you are no longer responsible because you've done your part in it.
There's a direction in the script that we're directed in the scripture to forgive.
Amen.
It's kind of a cleansing agent.
There you go.
A spiritual offense.
Amen.
That's what the word is, and asking to be forgiven.
That's right.
It takes the burden from you and causes them to be the one who must bear the burden by their choices.
Exactly right.
And sometimes you may have not done anything wrong. I remember someone years ago that I worked with. And after I went to work somewhere else, I had a better opportunity to come along. That's how God does it. But I didn't see this person for about 4 years. And then I was in their area again, and I went to visit them, and I said, look, reason I'm here is that if I've offended you in any way, please forgive me. And the person said to me, it wasn't you, it was me. Please forgive me. I would have never had that closure had I not taken that step to go to that person and have the offense released.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do.
Mm. In Matthew 18, verse 35, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, so also my Heavenly Father will deal with every one of you who do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. So it's really a matter of us releasing and allowing God.
Because we never want offense to be a stumbling block.
That's right.
To somebody else.
That's right.
In fact, Scripture talks about that.
It does. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, Classic Amplified again, we put no obstruction in anybody's way and give no offense in anything, so that no fault may be found and our ministry blamed and discredited.
The Word clearly gives us direction on how to avoid offense and to strengthen in the process. strengthen the depth of our character.
I think that every offense is to strengthen the depth of our character, because it's going to take digging down deep within us, not putting down the things that would come up in the natural, and accepting God's way of dealing with things. And that has to make us better people and makes us more Christ-like, because that's the example he set for us. And in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, this is a great scripture. In the Message Bible, it says, "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it." That says a lot. And yeah, it gives us a lot to live up to, really. But the point of it is we will win if we do it.
We need to be quick to forgive an offense as well. And the point is, if you ask somebody to forgive you and they don't, then it's between them and God.
That's right.
Because you've done what you should do by the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Mm. And it's easier. I know people say, "Oh, well, I got to mull on this a little bit." No, it's easier to forgive right then, before it takes root, than to hold on to something and meditate on it. Matthew 18, verse 15 in the New Living Translation says, correcting another believer. "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back." That's what you did with your friend.
One final word from
the Word. I love that.
Offenses will come. But it's our choice to make them destiny shapers or destiny breakers, one or the other. We're called into the kingdom to make a difference.
Amen.
That means the stronger our character becomes, the more dynamic that we can be.
Amen. And it says it.
And doing the things God wants us to do.
That's it. And making an impact. In James 5, verse 16, I love this classic Amplified Bible. It says, "Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that ye may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart." In other words, stay clean. It says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." If you're praying for somebody who's offended you, you can't stay mad and you can't stay offended.
It's true. That's true. Now, here's the rest of the opening story. The person who offended me deeply that I talked about at the beginning of today's call apologized to me in less than 24 hours. Apologized to me. Now, there'll be times when that will happen and have a happy ending. But there may be times if it may not happen on this side of eternity. The importance lies not on the incident, but more our response to it,
that's right.
How we responded to it, because that becomes the measure of our character.
Amen.
One last quote, Joyce Meyer. "Most of us have hoped and prayed for something to happen a certain way, but it didn't. And when this happened, we have a choice to make, to react with offense toward God or trust Him anyway." Not totally in the flow of the teaching.
But a lot of truth in
it. When I saw that quote.
When it comes to offense.
"Well, God, I don't understand why this didn't happen or that didn't happen."
Or this did happen. Yeah.
The point is.
Are you going to get better or get
bitter
worse?
Bitter or better.
That's it. You going to grow from it?
You get better.
Or let it take
you
down.
By obeying the Word of God.
And I heard a teaching, that was so good to me. It saved my life a few times, I'm sure. Seriously. It's terrible to go through something as bad as an offense without growing through it and getting better for it.
That's good.
Because it'll take you down, or you need to just let this word of God bring you up. And that's your choice. It lets you. I've talked to people that I felt so badly for because they were living on offenses that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they're still suffering over it. And I thought, how terrible to go through something so terrible and not let it help you just become a better person.
Would it be fair to say that they're living on offense?
There you go.
Because of an offense.
An offense, that's right.
Because they haven't
forgiven. Get over it.
They haven't released it. Then on this side, on that side, they're trying to be in the middle. Doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Doesn't work that way. Mm. Hallelujah. I think of the quotes we used in today's teaching. My favorite is the one from Julie Meyer. And that's just an awesome quote. Offense never lets you go. You have to let it go.
That's it.
That's a strong quote.
It is a strong quote.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you bring that book with you?
I did, but I would have to have somebody help me get it. I don't know wherever my purse is. Miss Diane, could you grab the book in my purse, please?
A friend of ours.
That attended on Sunday night.
For a season.
Yep, a long season.
Several years ago. Went to heaven.
Yes.
Week before last. And
her name was Charlene Wing.
Yep. And Charlene had, she and her husband were caring for their grandchildren.
Yes.
And who were young. And Charlene went to heaven. But
she wrote a little book.
She wrote a little book.
Encouraged her about writing
encouraged
this little book.
Encouraged her book.
It's quite nice. It's just a little $5 book on Amazon.
Live life. Life lived inspirational poetry.
That's right.
God, the author and finisher of my faith.
That's it.
And that's the book.
Can we see that?
And I want to encourage you.
Yeah, if you feel led.
If you feel led.
Go
to
Amazon,
look at it. And
her family, her remaining family, would get a little piece of that $5. And
that would help her husband, Mike, care for those grandchildren.
That's it.
So we encourage you to do that.
That's it.
And
sweet lady.
Yeah. Well, she is.
Anyway,
hallelujah.
She had a tough life, and God turned around, and I mean, she was on fire, and I know she is shouting in glory today. It's the rest of us that are, you know, missing her. So, anyway.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
One other thing you need to do. Mm. You need to make plans to join us every morning for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Amen.
Especially in the next 3 days.
Oh.
Oh, it's so good.
Be good.
It's so good.
It's always good.
It's giving the devil indigestion. He's going to have to buy more Prozac. He may even go out of town for a while. It's going to give him a breakdown.
That's it.
A breakdown. Anyhow. Hmm. Every morning at 8:30 Eastern, we've done
that. That's right. Wow.
1,900 and some.
Coming up on 2,000.
Yeah, we are.
Praise the Lord.
Anyhow. Being blessed by the teaching, take your mouse. Go to the top of the page where it says, sow a seed and just ask God what seed and have you put in the ground. Do what he says.
That's all
we'll ever
ask.
It is.
Till tomorrow morning.
At
8:30 Eastern.
God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Yes, we do.
Bye-bye.